I'm going to let down below, which is looking ahead on the flag raising.
Is it okay if I set this up here? There you go. Hope it doesn't fall off. Hey, good morning. Turn to James chapter 4. And while you're doing that, I'm going to explain who this guy in front of you is, because you're like, who is this guy and how do you find Meadview? Yeah, you know me? My name is Bruce. This is my wife, Sue. She fell madly in love with me about 37 years ago, tracked me down, chased me, and we eloped, and we've been married ever since then. I'm the director of missions for River Valley Mission Network. If you're Southern Baptist by background, you might know the name also as an associational missionary or associational director. And I have about 27 or 28 churches that I visit. If a guy needs mentoring, if they need resourcing, sometimes they don't need anything. And so I just kind of trouble them anyway and, you know, come by. And the churches are all the way north. My most northern church is north of Mesquite. As you go through Nevada and come back into Arizona, Littlefield Beaver Dam, I've got a church up there. And then if I go south, go all the way to I-10 and go toward California, and 70 miles into California is my furthest one to the south. So my churches are 6 hours apart from end to end. And so spend a lot of time on the road visiting pastors and doing things. So anyway, how many of you guys are just really tired of all this going on? Just kind of worn out. Okay, you got to be a little more vocal because I don't know who you are, and yeah. And I get nervous in front of crowds. And okay, so you're kind of tired of all this stuff and being told what to do, and you know, somebody yelling at you, mask, put a mask on. Now I get that part because we have some folks in our church who need that mask and need that protection. So I don't make too much fun of that. And as long as they don't make too much fun of me for not wearing one. So we just kind of call it even. But every place I go, I just feel like I'm being told what to do. And I just, you know, except home, of course. Yeah, not there. Man, you guys are a tough crowd, you know. Do you laugh at anything? Come on, give me a test laugh. All right, close enough. Okay. What I want to do this morning is share a scripture with you, just one verse. And it's got some great biblical truth. And then I want to do something fun because I've got an illustration. It's not a dead pig. I did that a long time ago. But anyway, I want to share one verse. And what I like to do is I like to share the verse, like to share the biblical truth, give some application, and then kind of do a demonstration. I'll do a demonstration today. So go to James chapter 5, verse 12. And here's the one verse we're going to look at. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, or you will be condemned. So let your yes be yes and let your no be no. That's the biblical truth. We're in a culture right now that doesn't really understand the idea of truth. They don't understand yes means yes, no means no. And it's just difficult to figure out sometimes where we are. So what is truth? What is a lie? How do we know what the truth is? How do we know what the lie is? How do we know if we're lying or if we're telling the truth? All right? Let me give you a simple definition I came up with. The truth is a spoken word or action that matches your internal knowledge. Your spoken word or your action that matches your internal knowledge. So what's a lie? A lie is a spoken word or an action that contradicts your internal knowledge. Okay, so you're zooming down the interstate and you get pulled over and the highway patrolman comes up and says, do you know how fast you're going? And you think, not exactly, you know, not like to the 100th of a mile an hour. You have a chance for truth or a lie. It's where your internal or your spoken words actually match your internal knowledge. So you okay? So my background has been pastoring for a long time. My background was in education. I was the I was the interim principal at a missionary school overseas. I've taught at an Arab school of 1,200 students for a couple of years. I migrated to the college world where I was a college instructor and a dean of academics, and then retired a couple of years ago as a president of a Christian college. And if I was teaching an upper level college course on ethics, this always comes up. So if you're in the late 1930s, early 1940s, and a Jewish family comes to you, you're in Berlin, and they say, would you hide us? And you hide the Jewish family, and then the government comes looking for that family, and you lie about hiding a Jew in your attic. Is that really a lie? Or is it okay because you're protecting somebody? How about, could a Christian be an undercover policeman? Because that undercover policeman has to lie about who he is or who she is. Could a Christian be in the CIA and be a spy and live a different life than what's really there? How about this one? As a Christian, is it permissible to put one of those light timers on your house that makes the light go on at 9 p.m. when you're not home to fool the burglar into thinking you're home and have him go someplace else? Is that not a lie when you're trying to trick someone into thinking that you're home when you're not? Interesting. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let your words and actions match your internal knowledge. How about Santa Claus? How about him? How about when your spouse fixes that new dish and says, honey, how do you like this? Well, that's certainly a new way to use that vegetable. Honey, what do you think about my new hairdo? I won't even go to the one about the new dress. Does this make... I didn't say that. These discussions that you might have on the college campus are kind of fun, but they're not for us. Because some of these things just don't really matter in our lives. Because if they're hypothetical, we can just talk about them all day long. Still a lie. I'm going to get to that point. I'm glad you're here because you're my amen corner. You're going to keep me straight. Yeah. So let me remind you what truth is. Truth are words and actions that match your internal knowledge. A lie are words and actions that contradict your internal knowledge. I'm going to take you on a journey through the book of Genesis. Now, I know we got to get out of here sometime before 1 or 1:30, so I'm not going to do the whole book. I'm trying to get you guys to open up a little bit, because I'll take one too. Yeah. Because I want you to be in a good mood by the time I get to this part of the message. I want you in a good mood by the time we get to there, okay? Now you're wondering what's in there. All right, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Satan comes to Eve and says these famous words, "You will not die." He has said to her, "I want you to share some of this tree fruit." And she says to Satan, "Now, I can't do that because God said that it's forbidden." And he said to her, "You will not die." So sometimes lies are told to control things. So there's a lie that's spoken. Satan knew that what he was saying was an absolute lie. Go one more chapter, chapter 4, verse 9. Cain and Abel, the family's left the Garden of Eden. They're living outside the garden, and God required a sacrifice. And so for Abel, he brought something that was acceptable. Cain did not bring something acceptable. And so Cain slew Abel. And then God came and said, Cain, where is your brother? And Cain said, what? What? Who, me? Am I my brother's keeper? Now, he didn't actually lie, but he lied because his internal knowledge contradicted his words. He knew where his brother was. His brother was dead in the ground because Cain slew him. And so Satan lied to control. Cain lied as a result of his anger against his brother. One of the most interesting sections in the scripture has to deal with Abraham and Isaac. Three different stories. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 13, Abraham is coming into Egypt. He's still named Abram at that time. And he's coming into Egypt, and he says to Sarah, his wife, Sarah, you're a beautiful woman, and they're going to do me harm if they know that you're my wife. So tell them that you're my sister. And so they come into Egypt, and they say that she's her sister, his sister. They lied because of fear. Eight chapters later, they're coming into the Negev, and they meet another king. And Abraham again says to his wife Sarah, you're a beautiful woman. If they think and know that you're my wife, they may do harm to me. So say to them that you're my sister. Again, fear. Again, a lie. Abraham has a son named Isaac. Chapter 26 of Genesis, we find that Isaac, what's the saying? The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Isaac, coming into the land of Gerar, into a king named Abimelech, who, by the way, was the king just recently that Abram, his father, said about Rebekah, don't tell them that you're my wife. Tell them you're my sister. Isaac, Abraham's son, says to his wife, you, can you finish the statement? You are a beautiful woman. I will be in danger. Say that you're my wife. Say that you're my sister. Again, fear. Genesis chapter 27. Jacob and Esau. Rebekah says to Esau, your brother's about to get the blessing, but I want you to have it, so we're going to trick your father. And so they come and they trick him because of greed. And the father says, are you Esau? And he says, yes, I am Esau. I'm sorry, he says, I am Jacob. You guys are making me nervous. I know I'm making you nervous.
What about the part where the prostitute types the apostle God forgives
us? That was a lie. Yes, ma'am, it was. Let me give you one more out of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 37. I want you to turn there because this one is especially interesting, the way that it is phrased from the brothers. Genesis chapter 37. Joseph has been put in a pit and then sold by his brothers to a caravan heading out of the region. And they realize, the brothers realize, they've got to tell their father something. And so here's what they did. The brothers then got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in blood. They took the ornamental robe back to their father and said, we found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe. He recognized it and he said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." The brothers sold him into slavery and then acted as if a wild animal had torn him to shreds. They took the robe back to the father and they allowed the father to believe that the son was dead. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. Get the nerve of these guys. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "in mourning I will go down to the grave to my son." So his father wept for him. So here's a story in which the son sold their, a group of brothers sold their brother to a caravan and then acted as if he was dead and let the father believe that. They were jealous. All of these issues are issues where the internal knowledge did not match the spoken word or the thought that people had or the actions they had. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. So the scripture is full of instances that displayed the lying part of people. We try and say to ourselves, well, it's not really a lie. Here's the euphemisms we often use. We misspoke. I was misquoted. You misunderstood what I said. Well, there's an alternate interpretation. Or we simply just sit there in silence. Or we say, now I had to look these words up because I had to come up with something that made me sound smart. It's an inexactitude. Hear that word exact in there? It's an inexactitude. It's not like exactly what I just said, but it's in the neighborhood. My favorite one is, my answer was just really a circumlocution. How do you like that? I had to look that one up. I had to really figure that one out. Circumlocution. What is it? I'm glad you're here. Yeah. Circumference. Around, you know, like the circumference of a circle. So around, and locution is speaking. So you're asked a question, and you speak all around it. You just talk all around it. And then you really never get to the answer. No, I didn't. I'm saying believers. Because you know what? Let me tell you. It's fascinating that we will hop on Hollywood, we'll hop on politicians, we'll hop on everybody else, but it's really us the Bible's speaking to at the moment. So when we're caught in a lie, we deflect, we deny, we rationalize, we justify, we spin. When the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Clear cut. I want to demonstrate for you what yes and no are. I'm going to need some volunteers. I'm going to need some trustworthy volunteers. Should I go to another church? All right. All right, who wants to be the first volunteer? Yes, ma'am, come up. Are you trustworthy? Oh. Okay, would you tell people what this is?
This is a cutting board.
Okay, is it real? Okay. Now, this is very sharp.
Oh, you picked the right person.
Okay. Is this a real knife?
Yes.
Okay. And can you tell if it's sharp or not?
Yeah, you have this paper.
No. Just, I mean, don't do anything crazy, but. Okay. Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Set the knife down. Thank you. You're done. I can't trust you. Okay, I need one more volunteer who's trustworthy. Ray? Now, we know each other, so can... You know what? I need someone who doesn't know me, because they could say, okay, yes, ma'am. Are you less scary than the other lady?
No! Get us together. You're
yeah.
in deep trouble.
Okay. All right. This is a cantaloupe. Is that a cantaloupe? Feel it? Smell it?
Yes.
Okay, is it real?
Yes.
Okay, it's real. Okay, what is on the outside of this cantaloupe?
Skin.
Skin, or there's another word for it? Rind, okay. Then what's inside?
Melon.
Fruit, melon, meat, okay. And then what's inside of that? What's in the very middle?
Seeds.
Seeds, okay. And what do the seeds do?
Make new cantaloupe.
They make new cantaloupe. Okay, this is a cantaloupe, yes or no? Let your yes be yes or your no be no. Is this a cantaloupe?
Yes.
Okay. So if we cut this cantaloupe, what we're going to find is internally what matches external. Right? So this is a great illustration of what we as believers ought to be. If we look like a believer on the outside, we act like a believer on the outside, it should match our internal issues, yes? Okay. So when we cut this open, we're going to demonstrate in a really cool way how we are like a cantaloupe. What's even further is we're going to demonstrate as the seeds fall out that we reproduce and bring others to Christ and they become cantaloupes. Okay? All right. Okay? You like that? Okay. So... No, it'll be okay. Yeah, I'll clean it up. Okay, so I'm going to hold this so you don't drop it. Just cut it anywhere in there, and let's do the demonstration.
Just cut it open?
Yeah, just don't get my fingers.
Oh, gee, I'll try not.
Yeah, okay.
All the way open?
All the way, yep. Yeah, let's turn it a little bit so you can get the rest of it. Okay. And there you have it. What is that? Hold your hands out. Hold your hands out, both of them. What is that?
Broccoli.
It's broccoli. This is a broccolope.
How'd you do that?
A broccolope.
Great, we have a minister who's a magician.
I developed this about 10 years ago in Montana. You can put those back in. Now, just to make
it taste like.
You want to taste it? Go ahead. Oh, don't be so dainty.
I don't know. All right. I'm like it. I'm
here.
Not taking a big bite.
There we go. All right. Let me put some of it back in my bag, and then we'll just, to show you, this is really a cantaloupe.
Well, how that's good. Well, I mean, really. So how do you get more seeds?
You're done.
Yes, it's really cantaloupe.
Well, the broccoli tastes like broccoli.
It's a little sweeter than regular broccoli.
Yeah.
It's definitely cantaloupe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. Here's what happens when your actions and your internal don't match. Yes, sir. Okay. It's a broccolope. Can you read lips? Can you read lips? No, it's just, I just only, you know, if you get someone else's DNA on it, then it infects it, and I can't, okay. You want to take it back to him?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let me get back to the spiritual part.
You're asking for distribution.
Yeah. Okay. So this is what you look like when your external and internal don't match. Now, this is a fake. This is not real. This is a fake, all right? Now, I've had college students, I've had older people, I have had middle-aged people, men, women, just this thing goes, they go bonkers in their mind trying to figure this out. But here's, don't miss the main point. When your external doesn't match your internal, you look like a broccolope. You look like a spiritual fake. You look like a hypocrite. Now, we're having a little bit of fun with this, but if your life on the outside doesn't match what's on the inside, people look at you as if you're a broccolope. They cannot understand you. They don't get it. And by the way, this has no seeds because this thing doesn't reproduce like a believer. It's just a fake. The scripture says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Translation, don't be a fake. Match your internal with your external. This to me was just a fun way to give that illustration. Next time someone in your church does something and you're thinking that doesn't match up with what you look at them and say, don't be a broccolope. Is this as good as the dead pig?
Well, it's close.
It's a different kind. Okay. All right. The scripture says, don't swear by heaven or by earth. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. All right. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you have given us so many examples in scripture where believers have lied, where they have not matched with their words or actions what is internal. Father, thank you for giving us that instruction to be truthful and be honest and to let our words and actions match what's on the inside. So, Father, thank you for that. Thank you that you've taught us through your scripture what it is to tell the truth and what it is to tell a lie. Father, may we live a life that is honest among ourselves and among the unbelieving world so that they'll see Jesus and Jesus only and not see a fake, not see a hypocrite, but they'll see something that matches as we match him in our truthfulness, our honesty. Father, thank you in Jesus' name.